You're listening to SpursCast, episode 508. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of SpursCast. Joining me for this episode 508 is Project Spurs' Colin Reed. Colin, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing very well. So it's been quite a while since I recorded SpursCast. Listeners, we do know that it's the doldrums of the off season where there's not a lot of news going around right now, so we are kind of taking some periodic breaks before we record each episode. So, Colin, the last time I recorded was way back on August 2nd with Michael De Leon, and now there's just been a few news rumors that have gone around that have an implication on this roster. So let's go ahead and get down here into this podcast. We have four main topics that we're going to go ahead and discuss in this episode. You and I are recording this on a Wednesday evening, so just providing the timestamps to let listeners know, if we discuss something in some news breaks in the following, next 48 hours or next week, just know that this was recorded on Wednesday. So, Colin, the biggest news that came out today was Manu Ginobili. He's actually considering, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com, he's seriously considering retiring. Now, this kind of came as a surprise to me, because I think we both had that feeling that Manu was probably going to come back just based on the body of work that he put forth last year. Statistically, he's still one of the better shooting guards coming off the bench in the league. He can compete with these young guys. He has a vital role for the Spurs. I mean, it's not like Pop's just going to bring him, RC are bringing him back just to say be a like Matt Bonner's role, just be in the locker room. Manu is actually like part of this team. Like, he gets core minutes and they need his productivity. So I personally didn't think that he would weigh retirement that seriously this summer. But now, Woj is saying here that he's really considering retiring. Woj says that in their reporting that he's going to meet with Coach Pop sometime this week or in the coming days, he said. He says that he's been working out at the Spurs' practice facility regularly after he came back from vacation, and that the Spurs do indeed want him back for a 17th season. He definitely has a guaranteed roster spot of $2.5 million on his contract. But it does sound, though, considering the time that has passed now, this is the longest Manu has ever gone in the offseason without making an announcement, that he is right now looking at retiring. What do you think about the latest news regarding Manu?
Yeah, it came as a surprise to me as well, and for the same reason that you had mentioned, just because actually the past couple of summers I'd gone into it thinking that was probably Manu's last year, especially last summer, and I think that was kind of the sentiment around San Antonio in general. I was there at that Warriors game 4 in the last game of the 2017 playoffs for the Spurs, and the general feel was that was Manu's last game in San Antonio, and then obviously he came back, and kind of how well he played and what he meant to this team while they were in turmoil, and kind of maybe how he reacted to the turmoil, and now that situation is resolved, I feel like a lot of people, including ourselves and including maybe even some of the plugged-in people who have just given little hints, strongly felt like Manu would come back. But kind of like what you said, just how long he's taken to think about this, I think it's a very big decision in his mind. He doesn't want to come back and just not contribute. He knows that roster spot's there for him. He knows that the Spurs want him there, but he doesn't want to just come back just to be back and just to have that roster spot. He wants to contribute. So I think that these next couple of days as he's talking to Pop will mean a lot. And I think that might go to say maybe that he's kind of starting, because he has been practicing in the Spurs workout facility, maybe how he's felt in these workouts leading up to there, maybe where his body hasn't been responding the way that he has wanted it to in these workouts. And maybe, he's taken so long because he's been working out and trying to see maybe if it's just a little thing that he's feeling or if he really isn't feeling himself. And he's probably kind of using that as a feel-out period. But I think that this talk with Pop obviously will be huge, which is, I think, our third big Pop talk in two summers.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll have more clarity. Probably a week from now, we'll have our answer.
Yeah, most likely. There was a report, I remember, at the start of this week before this news came out that I think it was his brother had said he might make a decision sometime this week. So, it's getting closer to whether or not he's going to make that decision. I think one part that a lot of us, well, at least myself, I don't take into consideration, but even other like sports, fans and media and stuff, is the family aspect of this. I think this is the one summer where he's probably been the most, I guess public with his family. Like he basically tweeted a lot during this summer. I think him and his family went on vacation to to Canada, it looked like they were at all different spots on Twitter and Instagram, you know, his kids, his wife. So that's another appeal, is that it's not just the Spurs, you know, the NBA side, it's also his family. You know, maybe he's at that age now where his kids are young, he still wants to see them grow up, you know, he doesn't want to be on the road 41 times a year, you know, in different arenas, and then, you know, his family's here back in San Antonio. So that's another part of it. I think some people don't take into consideration is the family, the aspect of that, is that maybe he is weighing, you know, even though I can still play right now, maybe I do want to spend these you know, these crucial years with my family. So that's something to watch, is you know, we'll keep an eye on what Manu decides to do. Like we mentioned last time when Colin was here, was like, you know, he doesn't really have to say anything if he's going to come back. He can just show up to training camp in late September. But if he does make some sort of announcement, it basically means that he might most likely be retiring, is what Woj is reporting here. So again, we're recording this on Wednesday, August 22nd. So if he does make some sort of decision within the next week, like Colin mentioned, you know, that's why we're discussing this topic now. All right, Colin, let's go ahead and move into our second topic. That's kind of going around the interweb this week, and that's the Spurs' second round draft pick, Nemanja Dangubic. He's been posting some photos on Instagram and Twitter of him working out in the Spurs practice facility. Now, I was a little shocked to see that at first, because I thought that he was still under contract with his Serbian team, Crvena Zvezda. I remember he was in San Antonio earlier this summer around June, and they had just said, according to one article, that he was just here to get some like medical updates and kind of just check on his rehab for one of his injuries that he had at the end of the season. But then I started doing some digging and looking at some, you know, it's very tough with these, you know, the Serbian media and overseas media with different languages to kind of translate those kind of articles. But basically the gist of what I got out of reading some of this background on him lately is that they offered him, Crvena Zvezda, two different types of contract extensions to stay with the team, and he actually declined both of them is what I saw or what I read in my interpretation of that translation. So if that's true and he does not appear on their roster right now, Crvena Zvezda, it does mean most likely that he's an unrestricted free agent right now. His agent was the one who even promoted that picture on Twitter of him shooting in the Spurs' workout facility. So just some background on Dangubic. He was a 54th pick in 2014. He's a really good three-point shooter. If you watch his games from overseas with Crvena Zvezda in the EuroLeague last year, he knocked down 46.8% of his threes. Overall in his career in the EuroLeague, he's a 38% three-point shooter. He's still 25 years old, so he's kind of at that age now for an international prospect of whether he needs to make that decision of giving the NBA a shot or, you know, continue to play overseas. So right now, there's been no kind of reporting yet that the Spurs are going to offer him a contract or you know, there's any kind of negotiations right now. But from what we know is that he is a free agent most likely, and he was working out here in San Antonio. And the Spurs do own his draft rights, which means he can't sign with any other NBA team. Some other news, Colin, is Darren Hilliard. Last week, he signed with Saski Baskonia over in Spain. That's the team where Adam Hanga used to play, and that's the team where Davis Bertans came from before he joined the Spurs. So Hilliard, the Spurs did want him back on the qualifying offer for $1.3 million. They had a two-way contract qualifying offer out for him, but it looks like he probably wasn't able to get, you know, a competitive deal with another NBA team to make the Spurs match to get an actual 15th roster spot. So it looks like he's taken, you know, he's decided to go sign overseas professionally. So that basically means that the Spurs have two open two-way spots right now, plus they have that extra spot. Colin, just based on what you've heard here, is what do you think the Spurs still might do with that 15th roster spot right now?
Well, I think that a lot of it depends on if Manu retires or not, because they have gone into the season with 13 roster spots filled. We have seen that. I think that was 2 years ago when actually they had Livio Jean-Charles signed to a guaranteed contract and they actually waived him.
Yeah.
I think that was the year that happened. But usually they go in with 14 roster spots filled and they like to keep that last spot flexible. So if Manu retires, I do think that they try to fill at least one of those spots. And then I do think that kind of just how closely they've worked with the Austin Spurs, they're trying to fill both of those two-way spots. One free agent, and I might have totally, I kind of stepped out for a bit, so maybe I completely missed him getting signed. If Manu does retire, is Jamal Crawford still a free agent?
He is still a free agent. There's been little rumors of Golden State having interest, of Philadelphia, but yeah, he's still a free agent. Jamal Crawford, surprisingly, at this point.
So, I mean, I wonder if the Spurs have interest if Manu retires in a player like Jamal Crawford. I'm not sure, but I know that there's also a lot of their own guys that they have draft rights to that they would want to bring into camp. I know that Blossom Game has kind of been someone mentioned. He maybe is someone that would get a two-way contract, but maybe if there's two open roster spots, they're willing to take a bigger swing on him and have him just kind of be on the roster. So they have a lot of options. I think if there's 14 spots, they probably just stay where they are and sign two-way players. But if another roster spot opens, they probably try to fill at least one of them.
Yeah, and that's something to watch with Dan Gubich, in my opinion, is I think that, you know, they're kind of evaluating where's his game at right now. Is it worth giving him maybe a training camp invite or even a roster spot with him right now? And then another player that we didn't mention was Chimezie Metu. You know, last week I had checked, and on the Spurs official website, his picture's on there with the jersey number 7, but he hasn't officially signed a contract. Now, that doesn't mean that he's on the team yet, because Jaron Blossomgame, who you mentioned, was kind of in that situation last year where they had his photo online, I think, or his information, but he never actually signed with the Spurs. He ended up in Austin. So we don't quite know yet either what's going to happen with Jaron Blossomgame or Chimezie Metu. Maybe one of those two guys gets either one of those 2A spots or one of those vacant roster spots, that 15th spot, or the if Mata retires, that 14th spot. So right now, like, basically the roster is kind of, outside of Manu waiting, they're waiting on a decision from Manu. The Spurs do have 14 guaranteed contracts right now, including Manu if he comes back. And if he doesn't, then there's 13. And then plus they can add up to 20 players for training camp. But they got to have it down to 15 by the start of the regular season. Okay, Colin and I are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family's safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Thank you for listening to Spurscast, episode 508. I'm Paul Garcia, and I am joined by Colin Reed of ProjectSpurs.com. If you're on Twitter, please follow Colin at ColinReedPS. Okay, for our last segment, Spurscast listeners, Colin and I are going to go ahead and go through, just have a little discussion about the Spurs' schedule that came out recently. We're going to kind of just go through what the projections have for the Spurs, and then what we think they're going to finish as early on, even though it's only August still. It's not even October yet when the season started. So initially, Colin, the Vegas, basically when they first came out, they had the Spurs projected to win 43.5 games. A lot of fans here in town, they did get upset, they basically didn't have Kawhi Leonard last year and they won 47. And now they're getting a better player, not a better player, but a healthier player this season, at least, in DeMar DeRozan, who was an all-NBA team member, an all-star. You're getting a year or two of Rudy Gay, who says he's 100% healthy now. You have LaMarcus, who's an all-NBA player. So DeJounte Murray coming off that strong sophomore season where he became an all-defensive player. So the Spurs have a lot of talent, it looks like, but the numbers don't. According to Vegas and different statistical projections, it seems that the fit isn't quite there, that they don't have the spacing, they don't have a lot of those three-point shooters. And if those three-point shooters are on the roster, like a Marco Bellinelli or Bryn Forbes, well, then they might be liabilities on defense. And vice versa, on defense, a lot of these players aren't known for their defensive attributes like DeMar DeRozan when you lost guys like Kyle Anderson and Danny Green. So right now, when it first came out, the projections, the Spurs were projected to win 43.5 games. I just checked as of August 20th, and according to Westgate and betonline.ag, the Spurs are projected right now to win 44.5 games. So Vegas has given them one more game. It's still pretty low from from the team that finished last year, 47 wins. And that would put them ninth in the West. So right now, basically, 44.5 games the Spurs are projected to win, over under, and ninth in the West. So what I asked Colin to do with SpursCast listeners before this episode was I told him to kind of just simulate the Spurs' schedule, you know, give a projection for where he thought they would finish, being, you know, and being honest about it. You know, if there's a back-to-back, you know, do we think that Pop might rest the players, or do you think they'll just be too tired and they might lose that second game? Those kind of scenarios we took into account. So we each basically went through all 82 games on our own, and now we're going to kind of just go through our projections. So, Colin, after going through all 82 games on the Spurs' schedule, how do you think they're going to finish based on your projections?
So I had them going 49 and 33. There was a lot of those games that were really close, though. I kind of wanted to go back through and, like, mark my confidence level on each one of them and kind of see which ones were 50-50s. I ended up not doing that. But there was a lot of them that really could go either way, like at Portland. It's kind of – they're one of those teams that's kind of an enigma. They finished third, but they were kind of a – like, not as strong as a normal third seed in the West last year. There's a whole lot of teams in the West with, like, what they could be. The range is super far apart, and since they play West teams more often than not – that was kind of hard to determine. But the end of their schedule was kind of, I think, helped prop them up to that 49 and 33 for me.
Okay, and I'm very close where you're at as well. I actually finished with them a 52 and 30, and that's assuming, I mean, these are assuming that every, you know, everybody's healthy, that there's no major injuries. I actually went 52 and 30 in my projection, and I could see definitely, you know, a few more losses here or there. I could see somewhere in the window of 48 to 52 wins is my projection here. So that's kind of right there with you in 49. And, you know, when the over-under first came out at 43.5, it kind of made sense where, you know, a lot of this, just the assumption was, oh, the West is tougher. You know, more talent went West. LeBron went to the West. Boogie Cousins is now joining the Warriors. You know, there's all these different, you know, scenarios where it seems like the West did get tougher, which is true. But it's almost like there's really just like these few, very few stacked teams where it almost looks like automatic losses against them. And then there's a lot of teams, like you mentioned, where the Spurs are kind of jumbled in there with them, where it could be a 50-50 win-loss either way with those teams. And then what happened was a lot of the teams in the East, they're actually like really bad. Like, you can almost look at automatic wins for the Spurs and those. So some notes that I wrote, you know, why I put 52 and 30, just like you, I mentioned the end of the All-Star break, you know, after February 27th in Detroit, after February 12th in Memphis, the Spurs have, the Spurs have 23 games left on their schedule. And I projected them to go 16 and 7. You said you did too, right?
Yeah, just right around that. I think it was looking at kind of where I had it, maybe 18 and 5. It was,
yeah, something like that. So 16 and 7, 18 and 5. And the reason why we're saying this with a lot of confidence is because you got to look at the teams that they're going to play. They're playing, they get the Knicks twice. And at that point, you know, if the Knicks definitely aren't probably in the playoff picture, they're probably tanking at that point. They're getting Brooklyn, who might be tanking. Detroit, who knows how their season turns out. They get Atlanta twice, a team that's definitely probably going to be in the lottery. They get Dallas at that point. Maybe the Mavs aren't as competitive, and they're trying to go for lottery balls. Then you have, I mentioned the Knicks. You have Miami. Maybe they're not having a good season. Charlotte, maybe they've caught it a year. Even Cleveland, you know, losing LeBron and, you know, all that talent, you know, then now all of a sudden they almost look like an easy win for the Spurs. And the Spurs do get Cleveland twice. Then you get Washington. So there's a lot of games against the Eastern Conference teams that the Spurs do play after the All-Star break that I think is going to be a huge swing in projecting whether they go from like 7th or 8th to maybe 4th or 5th out West. I think that's going to be a huge, crucial part of their schedule, especially how tough the beginning is. And kind of what I mentioned was, like, outside of Golden State, Houston, and Boston, do you see any other teams that are like automatic, you know, the Spurs may not beat those teams, and either home or away?
Yeah, I think the two that come to mind, and they're like question marks right now, are the Thunder and the Jazz. The Thunder, I know they were starting to really get hot before Andre Robertson went down, and they were just kind of clicking. And then once he went down, it all fell apart. And I think now that they are kind of, they know what they are, they know what their game plan is, they'll have him back in the rotation. That might help a lot. And then the Jazz, you know, there was a lot of talk last offseason about the Heat that went 11 and 30 in the first half and then 30 and 11 the second half of the season 2 years ago. And there was a bunch of talk of, like, are they who they were at the beginning of the year? Are they who they were at the end of the year? Oh, it's maybe somewhere in the middle. And I feel like that talk has kind of happened about the Jazz. But I feel like with the Jazz, so much of their struggles early last season were injuries. And if they are who they were at the end of last season, they're going to be a really, really good team. And I think they might be, like, the prohibitive third team in the West that, I mean, they gave the Spurs a lot of trouble last year. I think that they just might be one of those teams that's built to give the Spurs trouble. But, I mean, other than that, I think everything, even Philly is up in the air. You know, even maybe the Raptors. I think some of those teams that you would look at right away and assume, I think for me, it would probably be the Jazz.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, after, you know, Golden State, Houston, and Boston, it almost looks, even according to Vegas' projections, that those teams can be up in the air. You know, according to projections right now, Golden State should finish first, 62.5, where this is just the West. Houston, 55 wins. OKC, 50 wins. And then the Jazz, 49. You have the Lakers at fifth at 48.5 wins, and then the Nuggets at 47.5. And then from there, basically, you know, the Spurs are jumbled in there with New Orleans, with Minnesota, with Portland. They're all kind of in that little area all together. So that's kind of where that kind of reminds me more so of, like, you know, how does the schedule break for some of the teams, and then how do the injuries break for some of those teams. And like you said, like even like Philly, Toronto, you know, if those games are here in San Antonio, I have confidence that the Spurs might beat those teams. OKC and Utah, if they're here playing here in San Antonio, I think that the Spurs have a really good shot at getting wins there. I think one of the team that it might be just a bias on my end from the past few years is I didn't give enough credit to Memphis. I almost assumed this Spurs team is still good enough to kind of get a lot of those wins against the Grizzlies. Maybe I got to see it to believe it. You know, they did get more talent on their team. They're going to get a healthy Mike Conley. They added Jaren Jackson. I think he was like the third or fourth pick in the draft. They also added what's his name, Kyle Anderson from the Spurs. So the Memphis looks like a better team on paper, but it's more so I got to see it first. It play out. I think the Dallas is also supposed to be a little bit better. Right now, Vegas has them to finish with 34.5 wins. So maybe them two, I didn't give enough credit or that respect level, I guess, for the Spurs to lose to those two teams. So we will see how it breaks out. And, you know, there's just a lot of what I would call almost easy wins for the Spurs, you know, as long as they're focused in that game. You got Phoenix still. You got Orlando, Sacramento, Chicago, Brooklyn, depending on the point of the season, which the Spurs do play them later in the season. The Knicks, Atlanta, and Cleveland. There's a lot of, you know, teams that the Spurs can definitely stack some wins against. Did you have any more comments regarding the schedule?
Yeah, I think that just about covers it. I think the other, and I forgot about it until just now, I actually had them splitting the series with them. I think the other sneaky team this year to watch out for is maybe Milwaukee with the new coaching staff. You know, Giannis is kind of entering his prime, and that was another team that I thought the first game that they play in Milwaukee is in November, so that might be like if they come out real hot. But, I mean, that's another team that that's two games a year, and I had them splitting it either way. But I also had the same thing with you on the Grizzlies. Kind of as a funny anecdote, I was just writing down the letters on wins and losses, like just, you know, in order. I didn't have, like, the teams they played or anything. And I had, like, I counted it up, and I got to 81, so I was trying to see where I went wrong. And I had the Grizzlies, and I got there, and there was an L. And I was like, wait. So I must have messed up here. And I was like, wait, no, I actually put an L for the Grizzlies. Like, yeah, like when I was thinking about it, like I gave them the credit, but when I was going back through, I forgot that they're going to be a lot better this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I can't even see if I gave Memphis any wins here. Yeah. Man. Yeah, so Milwaukee, see, two teams that kind of that I struggled with in terms of evaluating whether they're going to be good or not is Detroit and Milwaukee.
Right.
Again, two very similar rosters from last season. They really didn't make huge player upgrades. Actually, like, you look at Milwaukee, they kind of got a little bit worse because they lost Jabari Parker. They did get Brooke Lopez. Same thing for Detroit. You know, they have like they finally have a healthy Blake Griffin for a season. But then they also had those coaching changes. You know, Coach Bud in Milwaukee, and then you have Coach Casey now in Detroit. So so it's more so, you know, how do those kind of teams shake out with those new coaches at the helm with very similar rosters. Before we close up Spurs Cast episode 508, I just have one more question. We kind of got through our agenda here for the episode, but I have one question I want to throw out to you, Colin, that I brought up to Mike last time. It deals with Pau Gasol's contract. You know, I kind of just went through all the numbers and how he basically is kind of viewed as an expiring contract this year. Just in your opinion, before the trade deadline in February, do you think that there's a chance that they trade him for some sort of player on an expiring contract?
Do, and I think especially if they're kind of, I think both of us have them in that where from the beginning of the year to the All-Star break is tough for them. Mm-hmm. They probably don't look great, which makes a lot of sense when you think about like star players coming to the Spurs, which we actually have some history for now. They don't usually start off great, and the beginning of the schedule is also very tough for them. So I think that they could be in a spot where it's like, we need a push to make the playoffs, and now with the trade deadline moved to where it is, they could definitely be like, we should go out and get someone that might be available. And it won't be like, you know, a superstar world changer type player, but it would just be someone who can maybe move the needle from like missing to making, which might be a small change to make. I do think that too. And I know you had written a lot about this. I know earlier in the summer when I was looking at it, just because I know only like $6 million of his contract is guaranteed next summer. They could waive and stretch him next summer, right? But I think just because they could waive and stretch him and they have that option, that might make it a lot easier for them to trade his contract. Like you said, maybe with, we had talked about this before, with like a first round pick to try to get an expiring player in return.
Yeah, and exactly. There's going to be quite a few wings on expiring teams. You know, once if those teams that they're on right now don't finish out their seasons the way they're hoping to, if they end up going for tanking route, then a lot of those wing players can be available. So thank you, Colin, for joining me for episode 508. SpursCast listeners, again, if you're on Twitter, please follow him. His Twitter handle is @ColinReedPS. So just to close out this show real quick, if you have any questions, send them to #SpursCast. Visit us online on Twitter @ProjectSpurs, @ATLeague_NBA, @TheSpursCast, and @ProjectSpursNetwork. Visit us at projectspurs.com, analyzingtheleague.com, and projectspurs.net. And if you're on iTunes listening, please leave us a rating and review. Thank you. Have a great day.